Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah. I want to win championships. I want to win bowl games. Where else is a better place to do it than your city? Oh.
The power of home represents something. The DMV, like, you try to explain it to people that aren't from there, and it's hard to explain it.
That thing we talk about, Maryland pride, is real. And today, we're going to play with Maryland pride.
He's going to go! Touchdown, Maryland!
The Terrapins have won. Last shot at winning this game. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, throws it up.
Money!
And he got it! And the Terrapins win at the buzzer! Oh!
Stevie Francis,
showtime! Oh, Neil! What a play by Pius! Holy cow!
Maryland hits the road to beat Penn State.
Maryland pulls off the upset.
They have defeated number one, and the celebration is on.
Kids have done it! Maryland wins their first ever national championship, holding up Indiana 64-52. And let's listen and look at the celebration.
Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness. Others host college sports and recruiting podcasts.
You're listening to IMS Radio at InsideMarylandSports.com. Your hosts, Jeff Ehrman, Paul Douglas, and Larry France.
What's going on, fellas? You know what is only 3 days away? Three days away. I got something for you. Let's go!
Got Towson. Score first.
I know it's Towson, but come on!
It's football. Let's go. It's college football. It's September, man. It's September. Maryland's great in September. I'm excited.
M-A-R-Y-L-A-N-D. Maryland will win. There we go!
Can pretty much guarantee Maryland will win on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
there's not even a point spread. Have they put as of like yesterday? There was no, it was off the board.
Yeah, I actually spent a lot of time today getting all my bets and my FanDuel set up for the weekend because I'm so excited. I made 8 bets. I won't bore you with all the details, but
give us your favorite. What's your number one lock of the century money back if you lose guarantee?
Let me go. I gotta open my spreadsheet.
Of course, he's got a spreadsheet.
I got to open my spreadsheet. I'll tell you which one I think has the best chance of winning the most money. And this is all purely based on data that I find online. And then I just throw it in against a percent chance to win versus the betting odds, right? And then, right, if the percent chance is correct, then, you know, I'm expected to win more than
money
I
bet. Money line or points?
Straight up. Yeah. And the one, according to the data that I collected, is Northwestern over Rutgers. Because they're
you could not freaking pay me to watch that football game. Well, I've been fiending for college football for better part
as starved as I am for college football, I would probably watch it.
It's not saying necessarily that Northwestern is favored to win, although it's very, very close depending on which which site you look at and which analytics you use, but the spread is such that you've got an overlay, right? So
that is just a brutal, brutal matchup.
No, I know. I don't care.
I know you don't. You're trying to make money.
It's no emotion. It's all pure 13 data. 13
versus 14 game, basically. 13 versus 14 in the big.
Yes,
game.
Yeah, it is. Or well, Indiana's probably Northwestern Indiana are probably 13 and 14. Rutgers is probably 12 if you're looking
put that respect on Greg Schiano's name. He's fighting for 12.
Yeah, if you look at the you've seen Big Ten power rankings and various other, there's all kinds of people who do preseason prognostications and stuff. Yeah, pretty much Indiana, and Northwestern are the bottom two with Rutgers right after that. And then it kind of
play all three this year, which is a jolly, jolly scheduling quirk for Maryland. I mean, usually it seems like we end up with the worst possible schedule ever. But this time there's a few decent options for us.
And right off the bat, our guest is joining Steve Suter. So give me a minute, everybody. We're going to admit Steve Suter into the room. We got started a little late, so we didn't get to kick off with any of our normal football stuff or basketball stuff. But we'll get into all that a little bit after Steve.
All that stuff with Steve.
I admitted him. However, I see a splash screen. There he is. With the script logo behind. I love this.
Man,
script.
He is.
Everybody
he is
loves
on brand.
The script logo. Yes.
On brand today. I like that.
Is that the man cave?
Yeah, man. In the basement.
Nice.
So you're not trying to drink some margaritas waiting for your daughter's dance lesson.
No, not today.
That was last time. How's she doing with that? She's doing good?
They're great, man. They're both killing it. So
nice.
I'll be there a lot this year, so we could do another one if we need to. I'll have a margarita at that point.
I remember that phase. I was doing that multiple times a week too. Mine's off at college now, so it's over with. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a pain in the ass, but you're going to miss it. Trust me, when it's over with. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Although I went through my credit card bill just for the restaurant that I'm at with the margaritas for the 3-year span of 2000 to 2023.
Yeah.
I said, that's a lot of margaritas.
Hey, money well spent, my friend.
Yeah.
Money well spent. Everybody who's watching, we got our crowd is building right now. For everybody watching later and listening on the podcast, we have with us, of course, one of the greatest Terps of all time, Steve Suter. He's the color analyst for Maryland Terrapins Radio Network. He's 15th all-time in purpose yards, 7th all-time in kick return yardage. What is that? First all-time in punt return yardage. Yes, that is Steve Suter. And 6 total punt return TDs, correct?
Yeah.
In the career,
mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. That is some good stuff. And we reminisced last time about the Gator Bowl and your career in general, crushing West Virginia. That was good stuff. So we won't get into that this time. I kind of wanted to ask you. It's been the off season, and we're kicking off the season, our season here at IMS Radio, getting ready for football in 3 days. We've had spring ball. We've had all the camps. I'm sure you've been around all of that stuff. What are your impressions about the team over that time from the end of last season until now? What can we look forward to?
Well, let's see. Where should we start? I guess I'm kind of cautiously optimistic for the team as a whole. There are some spots on the team position-wise that I'm high on, specifically receiver. I think they're going to be better than they were last year, even despite losing Rakeem Jarrett and Dante Demas. With Demas's injury, he just never came back the same guy while he was at Maryland. Not his fault. An ACL is an ACL. Not many can come back from that. But he was unstoppable before that injury. And then Rakeem Jarrett, while he started off really hot there as a freshman, he kind of petered off a little bit. And losing him, that's a blow because he was a big-time player. I think Octavian Smith's one of those hungry guys that could fill that production there in the slot. And then Tyrese Chambers, the new guy coming in from FIU. I really like him on film, specifically from the standpoint of making contested catches. I think Maryland as a whole, the last 2 years I've been covering the team on the radio, That is one thing that they've struggled with outside. They don't make contested catches. If they're not open and the DB's not all over them, then they're usually not. And then they're coming down with it. But sorry, if it's vice versa, if it's a 50-50 ball, they just haven't been winning those. So Tyrese Chambers does that a lot on film from what I've seen. And Caden Prather does that a lot on film from what I've seen on film. So I'm excited for them to bring another element when it's a tough third down and 10 or a third down and 8, and it has to be a contested catch to keep the chains moving. Hopefully they'll be able to provide that. And you still got Jayshon Jones, who's just a versatile guy. I could see situations where it's Caden Prather, Ty Felton, and Jayshon Jones on the field. And then I think you can interchange Octavian Smith and Tyrese Chambers within there. So they're going to have a solid 5-man rotation, I think, outside of all guys that can be productive and make big plays at any time. Obviously, Leah is Leah. He's a great college quarterback, and we're going to expect a lot from him. And I'd hate to say I got some, or I'd love to say I have some real special insight on the team, and this is why they're going to have XY record. But I can't get away from the offensive line, just like everybody else has had all offseason, everything I read. And it's really going to come down to the offensive line. It usually does on most teams anyway, but you can get away with it if you're mediocre or you have a lot of experience there. But there's just a lot of unknown now for Maryland's offensive line. You're only getting DJ Glaze coming back. While he's a great player, he was mainly right tackle. Now they're moving him to left tackle. And it's just, what are the other pieces of the puzzle going to look like? I rewatched the spring game because we covered it live on the radio, so I didn't get a chance to actually pay attention to the game. I'm on the field, and I was doing live interviews. I rewatched the spring game, and it was a rough watch, if I was being honest. On offense, the first two quarters that I rewatched were not good offensively. They couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't protect Leah. Maybe the bright spot of that game was Quayshon Fuller. He was the MVP in my eyes of the game, easily, hands down. Now, he wasn't getting credit for sacks because Leah had a yellow jersey on and you couldn't touch him. Sometimes they blew the play dead, sometimes they didn't. But the offensive line could not block him. That could be – is he just that dog? Is he that good? And then Maryland's defensive line would like that, or was that a product of just an offensive line that wasn't ready to mesh together? So I'm hoping – it's the first part where Quayshon Fuller is just going to be an animal this year, and he's provide pressure and be one of those guys that can get in the backfield. Because if we flip side the D-line too, they lost everybody as well. The defense was great last year. They improved a lot in a lot of statistical categories, but they're only returning 5 starters. And one of them is Ruben Hippolyte, who missed a lot of time last year. So I'm not even sure if you consider him the starter, although he started the season. Clearly, it's obvious the secondary loss from Deontay Banks and Ja'Corian Bennett getting drafted, two great players. They played really good man coverage all year for Maryland. Can Shepherd come in to transfer from Cincinnati and fill one of those voids? And then are they going to keep Tarheeb still out there to be the two corner, or are they going to let Cooley run two and then Tarheeb runs nickel? I've seen a couple different scenarios. So they're going to have to maintain that production in the backfield, but are they going to be able to rush the passer? And I'm hoping Quayshon Fuller is the answer to that. I think the Phillips kid, the transfer from Tennessee, looked like he might be starting too. So he's going to be part of that off defensive line. That's going to get a start. And then King Basote, I think, is the other one. So those three up front, can they stop the run and rush the passer? And I wish it didn't always come down to this with Maryland, and it seems like it always does, though. How they're going to go as far as their offensive line and their defensive line take them. And I really don't have anything, any spicier answer than that. But, I mean, I'll be paying attention to it really hard the first game, especially the offensive line. I don't want to talk bad about Towson, but they should really be blowing them off the ball and running at will. Multiple 100-yard rushers. Hemby should have 100 yards. Littleton should get close to it. And then, you know, let's say the fourth quarter, they're putting up points. Now it depends how Coach Loxie feels about, I don't want to call it running up the score, but sitting on the clock because it's his alma mater and he doesn't want to embarrass right. him. But you just can't come out and be sloppy here against Towson. I don't think you can give up one sack and be happy with it. And you need to have 300 yards on the ground. Like, that's the type of game I'm looking for. And then it'll give me a little bit more warm and fuzzies maybe going into the season that maybe they found the right pieces to the line And it's something that could work because it could. I mean, you got transfer guys, so it's not new guys. You haven't seen them. They could be good players, and hopefully they are good players. They have experience. Some of the guys like Mike Percival that I think is going to get the start at center. And then you got the other transfer, the right tackle, Gottlieb. I think he's going to play right tackle. So they're coming in and starting. Let's hope it's an effective decision. But
yeah,
I'm kind of nervous.
You're spot on, Steve. That was what I was going to ask you about. The offensive line is obviously, you don't want to say the entire key to the season, but, you know, more so than 80%. Really oversized amount of importance. Do you think that, you know, Leah has progressed to a point where maybe he can make up for some of that? In the past, you know, he seemed hesitant to scramble. You could never quite tell whether it was coaching philosophy, we don't want you running that much, or whether he seems maybe a little hesitant to run because he's got that slight build and he's seen what's happened to his brother. You think he can make up for that a little bit? And did any of those offensive linemen that you mentioned, you know, I've heard Corey Bullock, the new left guard, looks pretty good. Any of those guys look like they might be able to help patch things up?
Yeah, I think Bullock's going to get the start left guard. So I'm glad you named him. So it's, you're going to have three transfers that I think are going to just come in and start. You're going to have DJ Glaze. You're going to have Bullock. I think Purcell's going to start at center. And then you got Gottlieb at right tackle. And Amelia Moran, who's been on the team, I think he's going to start at right guard. So you got three new pieces. None of them have played together except Glaze, who's going to be on the left tackle, and Amelia Moran, who's going to be right guard. So it's not like their communication, they're not going to be able to communicate with each other. So I don't even think you can consider that as a mesh. So it's in my eyes, it's five new starting linemen. Yeah. So that's always tough. I'll give them the benefit of down the spring game because they just came in and starting new five linemen and trying to look good in the spring game is very hard to do. So I don't want to be overcritical of that and how they looked. They didn't look good. So hopefully they've patched that up over the summer and done some things from a standpoint on their own to try to increase their chemistry. Now, to go back to your original question of can Leah make up for that? That makes me nervous. He can, because he's athletic, but when he gets in those athletic moments and modes, I think it makes him a less effective quarterback. Not in the moment. When he decides to scramble and it's the right move and he goes and gets you the first down, you love it, right? You're like, yes, move the chains. He's athletic. Way to get out of the pocket and do that. But I think in the past, it's got him skittish when he's had to do those things. And then it messes up his timing. It messes up his composure in the pocket. And then he maybe looks to do it more often than he should. So a perfect outlook for me would be come out to Towson and really have no pressure on him. He should be able to stand back in the pocket. They should be able to put a pocket around him. And he should be able to just pass. And even, I don't want to call it a false sense of security, but you can sometimes build on those things. Yes, it's Towson. And you could be really confident after that game, maybe more so than you should, but confidence can grow. So if he can get confident in the pocket from the Towson game and then get some trust in them that they're going to protect him, then I think it bodes well for him moving on down the season. Now, if that's not the case and he's running because he's getting pressure and they're relying on his legs to move the chains, then I could see that toying with his head and really messing up his rhythm. And that would be, in the long run, a bad move for the outlook of the season.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think one of the player interviews I heard recently, they were talking about how there, you know, it was still Loxley's system, but clearly Gattis is having them get the ball out quick and try and get the ball into space. And I suspect that has a little something to do with anticipating this line isn't exactly going to be ready to go from day one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, certainly could be one of those hidden messages that they're giving. We're going to be accurate in our portrayal of the offense, but there's a reason behind it. So there's two parts of that. If you go back to my original point of how good I think the receiving corps could be, then yeah, get the ball out of your hands quick and put it in those guys. Cause I don't want this to sound bad on Jason Jones. Cause he's a great receiver and he's been really good there, but he might be the only one of the bunch that can't take a hitch and go 80 yards just because he's lost a little speed from his injuries at two ACLs. I can't even imagine that. But the other five guys I could see could take any ball at any time to the crib. So you might want to get the ball out quick and put it in their hands. And so that's a positive. That's easier said than done, because quick routes are sometimes easy to guard by the defense, right? There's no deception. The guy runs a slant. I'm on the slant. Even if I'm not on it, it's a 2 yard, 4 yard gain. Big deal.
Well, and we saw last year too, how they struggled getting the ball down the field deep, which really had those safeties pinching in on them.
100%. They could not convert a deep ball to save their life last year. And their deepest pass was that chaotic Corey Dyches in the Purdue game. It was probably the best play of the season, but that was probably their deepest completion. Talia had a hard time completing the deep ball last year. And I don't know why, because he can throw and he's accurate. But to your point, he just couldn't connect. I watched it all season. I brought it up a lot on the air. I hope that's something that he's worked on. I'm not even exactly sure how you work on that, right? You get reps, and that's kind of an innate just thing that happens. You're in the pocket. Your body just automatically calculates how fast the receiver's running, how far you got to throw it. That should just be instinctual. And I think it was in 21 more so than it was in 22. So hopefully you can get back to that.
Healthy Demas has something to do with that too.
Yeah, he certainly did. Yeah, and I guess maybe there was some comfortability there because they were connecting like crazy on those things. And then when he went down, maybe he just lost his confidence and in the deep ball. But yes, all these guys, all these receivers now will get deep. They are going to break coverage, and they're going to be a lot of big play chances. And that may be how they have to counteract the offensive line. And now I'm kind of getting mad at myself because I'm making it an issue and we don't even know it's an issue yet. And I don't want to sound like that, right?
So, no, that's fair. That's fair.
There's a decent chance it's an issue.
Yeah. 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 So let's hope it isn't. And then it could be just raining deep balls. So
we're just pre-budding issues, right?
Yeah, that would be great.
So I did want to ask, since we had you, because we had Ralph on the podcast a couple during the summer, and it got me thinking about these turnarounds, right? Because when you were first recruited to Maryland by Vanderlyn, and I think, right, you were there early when Maryland was still, let's face it, down on their luck as a program, I think not so dissimilar from where they were when Loxley took over. So we're in year five here, right? You've seen steady progress. You're hoping this year with a little bit of a schedule break and with the, you know, with Leah back and kind of being able to instill the system that you kind of keep taking these positive steps. I'm curious, since you were part of that type of turnaround from a frankly, a basement dweller team to a really quality football team, do you feel like you're seeing some similar things in this stretch since Loxley's been here? Or do you really think it has a lot more to do with having competent quarterback, you know, some real NFL talent on the team? Or are those really just all intertwined? I don't know how much of it is kind of like that internal, like building a system you can plug and play guys versus just having the dudes who can get it done.
So it's got to be 50-50. Intertwined is probably the best answer, but 50-50 has got to be it. So in my experience, the Vanderlyn and staff just – wasn't up to snuff. They once Friedgen came in and Charlie Taft came in at offensive coordinator and Blackney was a defensive coordinator, it was just a different type of coaching from an X's and O's standpoint, just way more sophisticated, putting ourselves in better position to be successful. However, the roster didn't change. Friedgen came in and then we go to the Orange Bowl the next season and it's all the same players. Like, you had NFL talent on the team and on the roster, but they were not being utilized. Sean Hill played forever, right? You had a quarterback that was competent, played in the NFL for 15 years, lives in Ozark now, like living the life, but he's a smart guy. He's a capable quarterback. And we were running like high school freshman type plays on offense.
Well, you don't miss the Calvin McCall days, you know.
I mean, he was
on the basketball player. Player playing quarterback, right?
So just the offense change. So the coaching gets the credit for utilizing the talent. But again, you have to have talent. And we had it. We had guys going into the league after Ralph's year. And we steadily put players in the NFL moving forward once he showed up. Loxley, this is a year that I think means a lot on Coach Loxley and his ascent of this program, because of how many people he lost this year. Can he's always been a great recruiter, and he's been talking about the ability to create depth at every position, similar to mirroring an SEC program like Alabama, where he was, where if guys go to the league, the guys that come up behind them are the same talent level, and they just happen to be behind a guy that was a little better at that time, and you're not going to see a drop off. So has his recruiting that he's talked about and building the depth at all these positions, because now you're going to see it at corner. And now I know the portal's involved, so it's not guys that he recruited as a freshman necessarily at all positions, but you just lost two corners to the NFL that both got drafted first and third round. Are the guys that you recruited that are now going to fill in for these guys, maybe fill in is the wrong word, because if they're adequate or if they're just as good, then they're not called, they're not fill-in players, they're starters. The Shepherd play, is that the play? Are we going to notice a difference? Is he like a Ja'Corian Bennett, is a real good cover guy, and we're not going to notice a drop-off? Whoever's going to take the other corner, same thing, is Whitaker, or is it going to be Gavin going to, in the slot, in the nickel? Are we not going to see a drop-off there? And that would be really solidifying for Coach Loxley's overall philosophy and what he's been telling the media about how this team is evolving. And it's the same on the offensive side. We've already talked about the offensive line, but the guys that he brought in, is he able to bring in guys that you don't miss a beat? It's the same team. So I'm really putting this season up against last year and the record wise 8-5. You lost a lot of talent. Can you maintain an 8-5 record, or do you get better, or do you get worse? And then if the latter happens and you don't win as many games, then maybe we're not at the point that he wants to be at, where the depth and talent at every position is where he wants it to be. So, and he's had his fifth season, maybe the fourth.
Four and a half.
So he's had time, right? He's had time and he's had the portal. Let's hope everything that he's talked about wanting to have happen is actually happening. We just don't see it, because you don't see the backups. You don't see the second or third stringers until you see them. And then are they first string players when they show up on the field?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you say that, to me, I think defensive line and wide receivers, right? Those are two spots where you've got guys who were waiting in the wings are now going to step up and get, you know, other than Phillips on the defensive line, you got guys who've been here as freshmen, Atkins, Basote, you know, Tyson Johnson, Fuller, guys like that. Now they're going to be the guys. Can they step up and keep up that level of production?
Correct. And it's evident at receiver. That one's easy. There's talent in that room, and it stays talented from 2 years when I was covering. It's just there hasn't been a drop off at receiver, and there hasn't been a drop off at running back. So he's got those two positions down as far as depth, and Lee has been there long enough. There's depth there too, because Billy Edwards is really good. I mean, I don't know everybody else's roster in the country, but we got to be in the top 10 in the country for your top two quarterbacks, in my opinion.
That's an extremely coincidental comment you just made, because one of our national reporters ranked the backup quarterbacks in the country today, and I think Edwards landed at number 12.
See,
there you go.
That's pretty good. The synergy right there. You read that, though. You saw that.
I did not read that.
You're on the site all day.
Hey, Steve, last time we had you on, I asked you about the attendance, and what you said generally was that you got to win, right? And there's all kind of other things that are happening too. Well, they did. They did win. They went 8-5. That's not bad. And that's the second bowl year in a row. And in combination with that, they heard a lot of Maryland players get called on NFL draft day. They've made the stadium improvements. They had that $99 season ticket package. Is all of this making a difference? Are you hearing anything? Is all this making a difference? Is there going to be more butts in the seats this year?
I can't predict that. I have not been hearing any chatter. Nobody's telling me about insight on season tickets, whether they've sold more or not. All I can say is I hope so. I think the team deserves it. And that an 8-5 team, I mean, you're going to go out and have a good time most Saturdays. Go out and have a good time and support the guys. You're not going to show up to they're not a 5-6 team. They're not a 4-7 team anymore. And I don't think they will be for as long as Coach Loxley's there. So the product is good. It's good football. And I just hope they get it. I remember when I was there and it was like overnight. I don't know what it was, but it was overnight and we were selling out this games. And it's just no better feeling as a player to play against or play in front of a sold-out crowd.
I know what it was, winning 90% of your games.
Well, yeah, that happened too. Yeah, for sure.
Well, and I'll tell you, the one missing thing it feels like from that formula right now is you got to knock off one of the big dogs at home.
Yeah.
Like you can't get pantsed at home like that against Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. I agree. Last year, at least, the losses were fairly competitive. But, you know, even then, they were on the road for the most part. So, you know, I think the one thing, if you're looking for that magic soup, you know, to get people back there regularly, like you just can't get pantsed by 50 against one of those guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. They just don't have it. And this is the knock on Leah. You just don't have that signature win yet with this group. They're winning games, yeah. And I know a lot of them are out of conference, but they still count. But they're still holding their own in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, unless you're Ohio State and Michigan and even Penn State, those three big dogs that are going to consistently probably have a 7-win in conference season, everybody else is probably going to be flirting around that 500 mark in conference. And then if you had an up year, you're going to be 2 games up. If you have a down year, you're going to be 2 games down. And I know Coach Loxie wants to fight for championships, and so do I. That's the goal of, you would think, of all the teams in the conference. So they do. Man, they got to just knock off a big dog. And it, because I read the, I've seen the articles, I've seen blogs. I don't get into them too much, but at some point on the season, you hear same old Terps go 4-0 against the little guys before the conference play starts and then blow the first big game, right?
The Kings of September, baby. That's what we do.
That's the MO right there. So, I mean, I'm rooting for them. You know, maybe the Virginia game, maybe people don't want to come out to the Towson game because it's Towson, who knows. But I would think first game this season, freshman, new enrollees at the campus, I think you would be hyped to go to your first college game. So I still expect a good crowd there because it's opening day. All right, Charlotte, who knows, but a Friday night game is awesome. I don't care who it's against. The Friday night game is awesome. I hope that's a great scene and a good atmosphere for the guys. And if they win that one, you know, then you roll into Ohio State with a really good record. Maybe that's the one you get.
Steve, I think you remember from last time we finish all of our interviews with fill in the blank. I'm going to switch it up on you because you did that last time. Okay. This time we're going to do over under. I'm going to give you five quick and you just say over under, and you can expound upon it if you want to, but we're going to go quick. All right.
All right.
Number of Maryland football regular season wins this year, over under 7.5.
Over.
Yes. Love it. Number, how far over? I have to ask that.
It might come down to the bowl game again.
Okay. Number of players on the current roster who will make it to an NFL roster, over under 10.
Current roster. Do they have to end up here? Like, what if they transfer out?
They could transfer out on the current roster.
Right now, current roster.
Over under 10. Probably...
Push.
I hit it right on the head.
That's a first right there.
Okay, exactly 10. All right.
You coward.
That's why you always add the half.
I know, but yeah.
Like we're going to bring his ass back 5 years from now. I'm like, you were wrong.
Yeah.
Number of national playoff appearances during the rest of your lifetime, over under 0.5.
How big can they make the playoff?
He's a master of this torture right here.
That's great.
Yeah, welcome to our world, man.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real money is at stake here.
Exactly.
Just your reputation, Steve. Yeah, that's all.
I mean, we're live here. I got to say over. I got this.
You want to do it one time? Well, it's going to go to 16 teams, so maybe they can get the 16th spot.
And over, yeah.
Yeah. Number of times per game you get scolded by Johnny Holiday, over under 5.
It's on under. I'm really good.
Oh, okay. You know, I just picture, you know, like you guys are talking and it goes to break and Johnny's like, God damn it, Steve.
Yeah.
You cut me off.
That was my first year.
Oh, okay. All right, now that is a clip that we are grabbing. We're going to show to Johnny next time. We're confirming that.
Yeah. All right. He was really nice about it, though. He never yelled at him.
Last one. Number of players in the history of college football that have had more punt return TDs in a single season than you. Over under 0.5.
I think it's over.
It's under.
Is it?
Yes. You have the all-time record 4 in a season. It's a record.
Nobody's got 5?
No.
I think you might be tied with a couple of people.
He's tied. No one's ever had more. It's
you know, I'm really
look at him. Look at him.
I'm impressed that he doesn't know that, because if that was me, it would be tattooed on my forehead. Yeah. NCAA punt return record holder.
I would have a line of polo shirts with my name and that underneath it.
Title NCAA punt return record. Yeah. Signature.
That's a record 4 in a season. You hold an you are an NCAA record holder, Steve.
Let's go.
That. Yeah.
Before we let him go, I remember that my only Steve Suter experience before this personally was after the Gator Bowl, when we were walking around the landing. I think you were sitting on a bench by yourself, like housing a Subway sandwich, just like exhausted. And somebody was like, oh, we should go take a picture with Steve. I'm like, dude, leave that man alone. He ran for like 200 yards today, dude.
That's great.
Let him have his sandwich.
Yes.
Steve, thank you very much.
Did I tell you my most iconic, I don't know if that's the right word, signing, autograph signing?
No, but you're going to right now. Go.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's the greatest. It's after the Peach Bowl, where everybody that went to the Peach Bowl was – in that hotel. It's like all the fans were in the hotel. So everybody's partying together in the hotel. And I'm there with my now current wife, was my girlfriend at the time, and my mother and my father in my little area. We're hanging out. And this woman comes over to me, which I believe was her husband or her boyfriend at the time. I think it was her husband. And she pulls out a thong with my name and number stitched in it. Yeah. And then she asked me if I would sign it. And I was like looking around. I looked at my mom first. I said, are you okay with this? My mom was having a good time. She's like, yeah. And then I looked at my now wife. I was like, are you okay with this? And she was like, sure. And then I pointed at her husband. I was like, are you okay with this? And he was like, yeah. So I signed this woman's thong that had my name number stitched in it.
We don't know what happened to that thong afterward. You don't want to know.
Yes. Then I'll add to that. Let's call this 10 years later. I'm going golfing and I'm paying for my round of golf at the desk. And the guy behind the counter looks at me and he looks at my credit card. He's like, Suter, you play for Maryland, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, you signed my friend's underwear.
That's crazy.
Oh,
I was like, how do you know that?
That's
my crazy signature story.
Well,
that's
curious how amazing. Far the Steve Suter line of thongs went. Like, was this an NIL or something?
An NIL deal.
That's what I'm saying. If it was NIL was out, I said, I got a little niche market here.
Yeah.
we got to workshop this a little bit.
I'll be calling up Victoria's Secrets. Hey, Victoria, what kind of deals you got?
Man, we got some Maryland Terrapin personalized branded thong wear. Like that could work. Yeah, that could work. All right, let's workshop this a little bit. We'll get back. We'll get back on that.
Yep. We're gonna.
Man, I hope Mike Grinnan isn't listening to this because he'd be so pissed that it wasn't him.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, there's a history with our show and Mike Grinnan, the basketball player. He was around the same time as you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve, so much for joining us today. We'll be in touch, hopefully, throughout the season.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Good luck on the season, and we're looking forward to hearing you. And hopefully, we'll see you at the stadium a few times and all that kind of stuff. So,
all right, man, I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, hopefully, you lose your voice calling touchdowns.
I know that would be nice. Yeah.
Thank you,
Steve. Thanks, man.
Thanks. That was Steve Suter. Love the thong story. That was some deep scoop there, Jeff. Bet you never got that one
Paul.
Before.
That was Paul wearing a wig.
Oh, man. Imagine what I would look like in that scene. Yeah. Nobody's signing my thong, believe me.
That's crazy. What are the odds? Like, that would be a wild story if it was like Alabama or something. But at Maryland, a woman having just... It's hard to.
And then somebody being like, oh, yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So many comments in the chat room. Some good stuff. Our buddy William Ginsburg, who hosted the tailgate last year. And I hope you're getting ready, my friend, again for this year. William Ginsburg, you're nominated for life. This is your job for the rest of your life to host the tailgate party. William Ginsburg, he said, the guys are looking handsome as ever. Thank you. Thank you.
We need to get William to organize like IMS tailgates now and then, since he's the tailgate master, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I used to be like that guy, but like I'm old now, man. I ain't got time.
Youthful zest.
Yeah. Like you got to be young enough to really want to go out and get it. And, those guys, it's time to pass the torch a little bit is all.
Well, the old line tailgate is doing an amazing job. So
that's
another one. That's really good.
I think anybody out there going out there, getting people in the parking lot, butts in the seats. We are all happily supportive. Like I said, even my tailgate, man, at this point, it's just like you wearing red and you got a ticket or you don't have a ticket. Come on by.
We'll
have a good time.
Our buddy Tom Wentz is in. He's made a number of comments. He's calling for 9 wins this season. Before we move on to some basketball, go ahead. Were you going to say
something? Oh, no, I was just going to say I love Tom because he's like the optimist to my pessimist. So, like, if you merge our two numbers, that's probably about right. So I feel good about 8, maybe 8.5.
Well, I guess you're saying 7 now. I was gonna ask exactly that to give a final record prediction before we move to basketball.
Yeah, I was going to say, we do have to do a final record position.
He's coming off surgery, so feel better, Tom.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he had surgery yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's on lots and lots of good drugs. That's the best we can.
We did our game-by-game predictions last week, and just to recap that, mine came out to 6.73 wins. I'm the lowest of anybody, including online analytics sites, which is crazy. Jeff is at 7.18. Paul, you're at 7.14. And I told you I did get Hoagie's picks as well, which is 7.09. So you guys are all
signed. What are the odds that 3 of us would be in a .9 that range? Close. That's incredible.
It's, yeah, and I'm 40-ish to 40 points below, 0.4 below you guys. So why don't we give an actual solid record? What's your prediction for the record? You can do regular season, throw in the bowl win if you want. Jeff, you go first.
Oh, actually, no, we're within the 0.09 range, to correct myself. But
yes, 0.09, you're right.
I think 8 wins with the bowl. It feels to me like an 8-win season. I think, you know, I could see it being less if the offensive line issues are as bad or worse than we think they could be. That, to me, is the only thing keeping them from, you know, having this be that big breakout year. So, to me, it feels like an 8-win kind of team season schedule.
With the bowl, though. Paul?
With the bowl.
Yeah, so I'm going to say I think they're going to get 8 before the bowl. I think they're going to go 8-4. It's more optimistic than I normally would be. I'm scared to death of the offensive line, but I actually think the defense is going to be better. You lose a lot on the outside, but I think the defensive line is going to be good. I think the linebackers are going to cover up for a lot of trouble elsewhere on the field. I don't know. It just feels like if it's gonna happen in a way that it's ever gonna happen, it's gonna happen this year. So I'm just gonna bet it all on 8-4, and I think one of those is gonna be one of the better teams.
I'm at 7. I keep trying to convince myself to get to 8 and dream about 9 and all that stuff, but the at Nebraska, you know what that game's going to be like. It's just,
you know, we just never win that kind of game.
I know. Right? That's what I'm saying.
And that's why I'm like, man, one of these times it just has to happen. And
there's three big games. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to happen this year, or it's never going to happen.
I hope I'm on the borderline between 7 and 8, but if gun to my head, I have to go to 7. So I'm 7 and 5, and then hope for that bowl win to get to 8 and 5. Just like, I think I'm in the same spot as Jeff. We have someone in the chat, Olu, saying 6 wins at best.
Ouch.
That's, I'm worried about ridiculous. There's a reason when we went through the percentages, we're all sitting at right around 7. I mean, that means one game goes the wrong way.
Which is totally possible.
Totally possible. And, you know, again, you're not accounting for the fact that, you know, Leah could get hurt. You're not accounting for, you know, the offensive line just being a disaster. I mean, the offensive line problems are not being overly stated here. Like, this could be a disastrous offensive line. We are counting on a redshirt freshman, a potential walk-on starter at right tackle, DJ Glaze, who's good, but now playing a different position, you know, a transfer from Duke, a transfer from LSU, but who wasn't good at LSU, and then 2 guys from lower divisions. I mean,
that's why I'm nervous.
A career reserve guy too.
Yeah. I mean, that is not good. I think part of it is I have a lot of faith in Braswell as just being able to kind of put this together with duct tape and Elmer's glue. Cause he does seem like he has been able to coach these guys up to some degree. But boy, man, that's scary. Defensive line, I'm not worried about. I feel like those guys are going to come through. And I think the linebackers being strong are going to cover a lot of holes on that side of the ball. But, man, offensive line is scary to death. And you just, you know, like Steve said, we've seen Leah completely lose his head.
Yes.
When he gets a lot of pressure and when he has to run around for his life. And if that happens again, man, all the talent on the outside is not going to help you one damn bit. So, I mean, I think the concerns are real. It's just you're kind of hoping that at this point in this program, there are guys that are able to step in and just do a job. And that's going to – and in the weak points, if your weak points are just guys doing a job, if you've got strong positions at other all over the rest of the field, you can overcome some of that stuff.
I feel like this team has a higher floor and ceiling than last year, which is unusual. Usually they're going in the same direction. I think they have a little more upside, but also – those the uncertainty on the line gives them a little bit lower of a disaster level floor.
The schedule too helps with that. I mean, they're, you know, you're not staring at 5 likely almost automatic losses this year the way you normally are. You know, now you're looking at 3, 3.5 maybe, if you depending on how you feel about some of those tougher road games.
Antoine Cuff in the chat I think, has a rosier outlook than us. I think he's upset with our predictions because he said, do I have to take a flight to your house? And he said, that's DMV talk. So I think he's, I think he's unhappy with us.
That's fine. It's not like anybody here is not hoping that we run the freaking table and go to the playoff, right? It's just, you know, we've been here before. And I think Steve's right in that, you know, this season says a lot about the trajectory of the program, whether you can plug and play some of these guys and still get results the way that you should. And if you can, you can envision this being sustainable after Leah's gone and after, you know, surviving the initial NIL stuff and the slow start on our end for that type of thing. So
I agree with that, but I think next year is a bigger determiner of that because of Talia, because it could be a quarterback blip. They're going to bowl games right now because one quarterback and that's it.
Yep.
What happens after that? That to me is going to be way more telling. Assuming they do get their 6, 7, 8 this year and they stay in the same range this year, what happens after Talia's gone?
I think that's fair, but I think you'll also – Locks will be allowed a year of a bit of a down year if, you know, after Leah leaves. You know, if that – if he goes back – you know, if you win 6 next year with Billy or with Cam Edge, I think most people consider that pretty good year, right? But then you're looking at year 7. Well, can you get back up to 8 now? Right. Yep. So we could do this forever. But I mean, I think hopefully you get to the point where like you can really kind of say, okay, we're a set, you know, 6, 7, we're a bowl every year kind of team now. Well, it's just going to matter whether we're a 6 win or an 8 or 9.
Look, remember what happened with Ralph. And also, I know everybody hates him, but remember what happened with Mark Turgeon. You come in, there's a little bit of a honeymoon period. Well, Ralph didn't he went crazy, but there's a little bit of the period for Mark Turgeon. You build up team, you build up expectations. If it doesn't continue increasing, after a while, they're no longer accepting of that same level. And the coach speak becomes tiresome. And the problems that each coach has, which they all have their own nits, little things start to bother people. And if you're not winning at an extraordinary level over time, it starts to happen.
I think that's completely true. I think the difference between, say, a Turgeon, right, is that whatever the Mark Turgeon version of a football coach would be here for the rest of their life, right? I mean, because Maryland football, whatever we want to talk about Maryland football, it is never going to be expected to compete for championships.
Hush your mouth, Paul. Hush.
You can hush me all you want. We know what we are, right?
Yeah.
And us, just because we're psychopaths for it, like we can still step back and know that we are never going to be an Alabama kind of level football school. So I think if you can get a coach who can come in here and be like a, you know, a team that wins 6, 7, 8, 9 every year, goes to the bowl game every year, you're going to have people that are pissed that you can't take that next step. But I think most people would be pretty appreciative of that type of program.
For a while. Side, no, that's not true. Look what happened to Ralph. He was doing
what did Ralph do? Ralph fucked up by going and win 10 the first 3 years. So everybody thought, we're back. We're elite now. We're going to compete for championships. We're going to beat Florida State. We're going to win the ACC every year. And then he missed the bowl game 2 in a row, and then it all fell apart. If it's a more gradual transition, in, you know, we're in the Big Ten. If we were in the ACC, 6 to 8 wins a year wouldn't be acceptable either because it's the ACC and they're terrible, right? I don't know. I mean, fans are never – you can't expect fan bases to have levels of sophistication.
They'll get tired forever of him. They'll get tired of him if he stagnates, and then God forbid 1 year has a year they don't make a bowl, he will be on the hot seat.
You are probably right. I guess what I'm arguing is that they shouldn't do that. That's unfair to what this job is. That's what I would say.
Okay. Well, not to peek ahead, but there's a question about that coming up for you guys later in that. Okay. All right. I know it's our football season kickoff, but Jeff, give us give us a few hitters, quick hitters on basketball.
Big official visit this weekend.
Yeah. Jaden Mustaf is visiting this weekend, of course, son of Jerrod Mustaf, former Maryland player. Obviously some kind of sordid off-court background, but, you know, I've tried not to drag that too much into the equation. Seems like a great kid. Obviously an excellent player. I think he's ranked number 28 overall in the country. So you're talking about a level of recruit that Maryland really hasn't been getting at all. I mean, even Kaiser and Harris Smith last year weren't ranked that highly. It's, you know, it's Maryland, Georgia Tech, Indiana, Florida State, Arkansas, though I don't think they're really in it. And Georgia Tech, NC State, Indiana, Maryland, Arkansas. I think those – and Florida State. Florida State is the other one. I think Florida State is actually one of the bigger factors. So, you know, I actually have kind of what I've been hearing about his recruitment and Maryland's situation on the site. So, you know, you can go there and read everything I'm hearing about it. But that's a big one because they obviously need guards. And there's not many guards on the board, really. You know, they're hardly recruiting any. I think there's a really good chance they'll get at least one, wait at least for one till transfer portal season. And then the rest of the month, you know, almost all their top targets will be visiting. Kenai Ruth's, the really super talented forward who's, you know, was always highly regarded, but now is looking like a possible one and done kind of guy this summer. Another local guy who's moved away for high school, just like Mustaf. That's kind of a theme. Same thing with Derek Queen, who has not set his date yet, but will most likely be in mid-October. He's the only one, as far as I know, who will be coming in September. Also in September, Boogie Fland, five-star guard, top 10 player overall from New York. Matthew Hodge, forward from New Jersey, originally from Belgium. He's the kid whose father was teammates and roommates with Mike Jones, the Maryland assistant. So I feel like they're in a pretty good place there, but he's still got 10 schools on his list, which is pretty unusual for this stage in the process. You know, once you're a senior, you're taking your official visits, it's usually five or six at the most, but I think they clearly have as good a chance as anyone. And he's not as highly rated as these other guys. I mean, they have four top 30 visitors coming in, which is unusual for Maryland. So he's the one outlier there, but they really like him. They feel like he can, you know, typical European style, do everything on the court, play multiple positions. And let's see, who am I leaving out? Who am I leaving out, Paul?
Malachi? Palmer?
No.
No. I mean, you got Queen, Ruth.
You said everybody.
Queen, Ruth, Hodge, Flynn.
And Mustaf.
Afosa Oliogu is the other guy. Forgot him because he's technically a 2025.
He's 25.
Right. Expected to reclass to 2024. Canadian, really athletic wing, you know, five-star kind of talent. Maryland was the first one in on him, has recruited him harder than anyone else throughout the whole process. Naturally, whenever that happens, we all know toward the end, some other schools start sniffing around. So he's also going to visit Auburn and Missouri. Like Maryland's in there pretty well. Obviously, the thing, like I've said, about projecting where these kids are going to go now, it's much harder because of NIL. We don't know what offers they're getting from other schools and things like that, or whether it's, you know, the end all be all for them. They all care about it, obviously, but some of them still value a few other things, like, you know, culture and fit and the coaches and things like that, obviously. But so, yeah, it's going to be a really busy, you know, if you include Queen, a really busy couple months, otherwise a really busy September. And, you know, he's shooting for the stars. He's banking on getting some of these really highly rated guys. So obviously he's confident. Otherwise, you'd be hearing about more backup plans. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they can get some commitments going, because it's been a while.
Are your predictions still the same as last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think nothing has changed dramatically with any of them. I still feel like they're the leader for Derek Queen. NIL, obviously, he's going to be big there. He's the number one center in the country. Otherwise, though, I feel like he's been – I don't want to say pegged for Maryland or destined for Maryland for a long time, but a Maryland lean, maybe heavy lean for a while. Like they've worked harder than anybody by far in Oleogu. And then, you know, Hodge, as I mentioned, they have the connection there. The other guys, we'll see. Ruths. It'll be interesting. He hasn't wanted to come home for college. Maybe that could be changed a little bit. To me, outside of Queen, he's, you know, if you had to rank them in terms of who you want, he might be number two. Maybe not, because guards obviously are so important in the college game. You're losing Jameer Young, so you want to get one of those really good guards. But just in terms of talent, he would be my number two choice. So we'll see if they can turn his thinking around there. And, you know, it's going to be probably the most vital, I guess, or interesting month of recruiting for Maryland and quite a while, maybe since the old monster class, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully it turns out better than that one did, right?
If you are not subscribed to IMS, now is the time to do it.
Now's the time. That's my fear. 30%
off your annual subscription. Sign now or forever regret not being a super plugged in Maryland insider who knows everything about recruiting and everything else every day.
God, that I got like shivers just thinking about that monster class year. I mean, it's the similarities are just way too close for me right now. I mean, especially Oleogu, man, that's a bummer too, because he's a 25, might be a 24. They were way in on him. Him going to overtime elite is scary. Being Canadian and not having that kind of romanticism of playing college basketball has bitten us in the butt before, and I'm a bit concerned it's going to do it again when you've got a pathway to just get paid all the way through the professional ranks. Oh man, I don't know.
Sometimes I need to do a list story of the guys that they, this would be really esoteric, but the guys that they discovered early and then blew up and went somewhere else. You know, Cam Whitmore, remember Wenyen Gabriel, they were on him. Nobody knew a thing about him.
Yeah.
He blew up, ended up at Kentucky. Or was it Kentucky or Duke?
Kentucky, right? I think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a long list, but, you know, that's recruiting. There's going to be, even if you have a good eye, and these schools that are dishing out the big NIL money, they don't have to be as good at scouting, obviously, right?
You just swoop in with the check.
Yeah. And Maryland's not, you know, they have a respectable NIL program. Harry Geller's done a great job organizing that. Willard and everything else. Jimmy Patsos, you know, there's a lot of people involved, but it's not on the level of some of these SEC schools or like in Indiana, what they're shelling out. You look at the kids they're getting. I might have said this on the show before. The Oregon transfer, where, or the kid, the McKenzie, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I'm not even going to try, but the five-star guard they pulled, the Kansas stuff they were getting. So they're spending big on it. So that's, again, that's what makes it, not to cop out on my crystal ball or anything, but that makes it a lot harder to project because you don't know what's going on with the money behind the scenes.
It is time for Paul's favorite minute of every show. Yes, even in our football season kickoff, we give a minute to our non-revs and our buddy Wheels.
Hey, everyone. This is Wheels with your InsideMarylandSports.com non-revenue sports report. The women's field hockey team had a really strong West Coast swing this past week. They won three games out west, beating Stanford, Cal Berkeley, and Cal Davis by a combined 16-1 score.
Future Big Ten opponents.
Turn home to play number 22 on Friday in College Park. Men's soccer rebounded from an opening season loss against Missouri State with a 2-0 win over 10th-ranked UNC Greensboro. They play 18th-ranked Wake Forest on Friday in College Park. And finally, women's soccer is still looking for its first win of the season. They come off of a week where they tied two teams, Navy and James Madison. They go down to Richmond on Thursday to play Virginia Commonwealth.
That's it
for your InsideMarylandSports.com non-revenue wrap. Stay safe.
We forgot to go on that field hockey West Coast trip last week. We were planning to go. We forgot.
That could have been our live show, Cal Berkeley.
That'd be great. I'd be for that.
We'll just do a film review.
I'm all for any trips you guys want to take. I'm all about that. I love traveling.
Me too.
Yeah, Empty Nester is all about just getting out of there, getting out, traveling along. Lucky bastard.
Empty Nester, that's right. You guys will be there soon enough. And then you're jealous of it a little bit, but also you're going to be sad, like I was telling Steve. When all that stuff is gone, you're going to be sad too.
Oh no, yeah, it's gonna be, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. But I'll say this: like when he first went, for a couple of weeks, I was having a hard time. But now, when he comes back, it's almost kind of like, when are you leaving again?
Yeah, what are you doing like, here?
Yeah, what it? You're cramping
Did
my
you have
style.
Something to do?
Like, normally, I could just run around with my just in my boxers and not worry about anything. TMI, right? Okay, here we go.
I had the, the role playing that me and your mom have been able to do since you've been gone.
Yeah. You wouldn't even believe how to juice things up around here.
Hey, I got the bubble chairs repaired after that last the damage that was done at that last party.
You can't wear your Steve Suter thong now that he's running when he comes back.
Well, maybe he'll sign it for you. Yeah, you have your Steve Suter thong next to your Walt Williams bottle of vodka. Like,
yeah, that's what a show this is. We go from thongs to.
I still got to get my bottle of Clutch, man. So
I got it. Yeah. Well. Me too, okay. Yeah.
You gonna come to a football game? Maybe like ever. You're right down the road.
No, the reason I was hesitant is because I want to present it at one of our live shows. That's why I was just in my head, should I bring it to
and have Walt on the show?
Yeah, that's okay, why I kind
of course
do
Walt
that.
Could also bring more. Like I imagine he's got access to a little bit more if we were doing a live thing. I mean,
oh yeah,
doesn't have to be those three bottles.
Come be on the show, bring a bottle, we'll down it. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to end the show with a true or false. I will read a statement related to Maryland sports, and you guys will have to say true or false and expound upon it. We will begin with Jeff. Jeff, this will be the best season for Maryland football since the 3-10 win seasons under Ralph Regan.
Like I said, it has the potential. I'm going to say false just because I'm too concerned about the line issues. It's just too – you can't have full confidence at this point.
Me too. However, there haven't been very many really good
seasons.
There's
not a lot of competition.
Ralph's last year was really good, right?
That's my point. They won 8 last year, so that would say they're winning 9 this year for it to be the best since then.
And that would only tie what they did in Ralph's
last year. You could argue an 8 with Penn State or Michigan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
State that's true. Could juice that up a little bit, right? Yeah. So
I mean, they definitely have the pieces to do it, but – I don't know. Let's see. I was going to say, let's see how they look this weekend, but Towson, let's see how they look in a few weeks.
Let's talk in mid-October because we'll know what we are.
We'll be talking every week, Paul. So yeah, you're going to have to give your opinion on that every step along the way.
It's going to be the same opinion until at least after Michigan State.
You can't punt until mid-October.
Right.
All right.
That's fair.
Paul. Mike Locksley has been the coach at Maryland for 5 years now. He will be the coach for at least another 5, which is where we almost got to earlier in the show. True or false?
I think that's true. I think it would probably take a real significant downturn at this point for him to be gone by then.
Oh, by the way, we got one false and one true in the chat room for the last one. So yeah, you guys can play along if you want to throw in your trues and falses. Falses and truths. Yeah, I'll read them. Jeff, this will be the best season for Maryland basketball since Grievous' senior season.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, it's kind of like what you said about football. There's not that many banner years in that span right there.
Right.
You know, really, you're just looking at mostly the three-way tie season, I guess. And second best would be the year they went to the
Sweet 16
and lost to Kansas.
Yeah.
So it's not. Yeah, I'll say yes.
It's true.
Which one am I forgetting?
That's it.
I mean, that's it, right? Those two four seeds.
That's bleak right there, isn't it? I think it will. I really think that this team is way better than nationally people realize. Like to have two legit – probably first team all conference caliber players at the two most important positions, you know, your point guard and center. I think people don't realize I'm going way beyond true or false there, but people don't realize how good Julian Reese is going to be. I mean, his progression was insane last year. Freshmen are really good. They've got a some nice pieces on the bench. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a really good chance it could be their best in a while.
We got a false and a true for the Loxley for another 5 years. There's been a big chat, a big discussion about that in the chat anyway. A couple of people going back and forth about that, about how long he's going to be here and whether that's actually good for the program or not. So this last one, best season since Grievous' senior year, two truths. Okay, Paul, on average, the members of the IMS community lose money every year gambling on sports.
Oh, that's assuredly true.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's got to be true.
You got a lot of experts.
You got some experts, but even experts, man, if you're hitting 55, 58%, you're probably doing pretty good for yourself, and most people are not doing that. So I think you got a lot of losers. A lot of happy, having a good time on their DraftKings losers, but they're still losers.
Yeah, so this counts
in my marketing material, that phrase for the site, you know.
That's right.
A lot of losers.
I love you, losers.
Come join us.
You're my favorite sicko, weird-ass losers in the world, but you're still probably losers.
Yeah, gambling losers.
So am I. I don't gamble much on sports anymore, but when I do, it usually goes poorly.
We'll see how I do on my 8 bets this week.
I'll be curious. I do want a quick rundown on that next week.
Okay. You got backed up. Not 100% agreement with you in the chat room, by the way. Okay, Jeff.
They see even the losers know they're losers. It's fine.
All right, Jeff. ESPN College Game Day will come to Maryland one day.
How long does one day span? Like
till the end of time.
Till the end of time, sure. Yeah. Well, we know IMS Game Day will hopefully be coming to
That's right.
College Park this year. So that'll be fun. But I mean, it's got to happen eventually, right? It might be 3,047, you know, but.
Yeah. What you just said leads into my last one for Paul. IMS Radio will be doing a live show at least once this football season.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The Michigan live
thing is being details being worked out now. So excited about that. And if we go to a bowl game somewhere decent, I'd say we take this thing on the road again.
Absolutely.
I'm for it. Now, the difficulties with doing it on the road is that I can't bring my equipment with me. So I can bring
depending
a laptop.
Depending on where we go. If we go to New York again, maybe.
New York, possibly. Everywhere else, pretty tough.
Probably not. But, yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
But audio, we need audio. You got to get somebody in the area that does audio. It gets crazy. But, yeah, I would love to do that. It's awesome.
We've done crazier things before. Let's put it that way.
We have. We got to call out for Nashville. I'd love it if we did Nashville this year.
That would be sweet.
That would be a positive one for me. I'm in on that. So yeah, let's just go like just go 8-4, 9-3, and go to Nashville for years. That'd be fun.
Well, how about this? What if they go wherever they go, but then we just decide to go do a live show in Nashville regardless? We'll just go.
Find a bunch of Vandy.
It doesn't have to be tied to a game. Like, we can just go.
You know, it would be a good
Vanderbilt show.
It would be like a really good academic exercise to see if we could pull that off without my wife realizing that our bowl game was not where I was traveling to. Because I think I might be. She cares so little for this. I think she. I might be able to get away with that.
I mean,
I could 100% pull it off, and Maryland is my business. I think I can pull that off with my wife.
I'm saying we have to go to the bowl game. I'm just saying, like, it's some other random day. We just go to Nashville and do the show there.
I love the idea of us just going to Nashville for whenever we're playing our bowl game. whenever that game is, that's great. Y'all go to the game. We're going to go to Nashville, and we're going to do a live show in Nashville for 3 people, and it'll be awesome.
How about if they go to the Music City Bowl, and that's the plan?
How about this?
They go to the Music City Bowl. We'll let people go to Detroit, and they can watch us live
from Nashville. Yeah. Our buddy Tom lives in Ohio, so we can just go do it from his house.
Yeah, that's fine. We got some strategic locations in the general area.
He's got to put us all up. We got to find guest rooms for all of us. You got to put us all up. We'll come do the show there.
Who can we get a guest to fly to Nashville to not go to our bowl game?
SVP.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
SVP would do it.
Look, Scott, we got an idea. All right. We're not going to Detroit. We're going to Nashville.
Yeah, he's definitely going for that.
It depends if it's all coming out of the IMS budget or not.
Oh yeah.
Depending on how big the budget is, we can get a lot of people there.
That's gonna be Van Pelt's concern for sure.
Yeah. Van Pelt needs the money at this point.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, here. Scott got 30 bucks for you, brother. Got a Hamilton and a Jackson for you, brother, if you tell me this.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame show. Yeah, he's near there in Ohio. All right. Good show, guys. Excited for the season. I hope they overperform and that our concerns about the offensive line and just general Marylandness are overblown. And it is truly going to be the best season for Maryland since those 10-win seasons. That would be awesome. Could you imagine a 9-3 season? Wow.
Definitely going to be the best season since last season.
It is going to be that. It's going to be that. Well, there's a game in a few days, and so next week when we come back, we'll have some actual real on-the-field stuff to talk about.
Beautiful.
The season is here. We have made it. Our long national nightmare is over. We have made it.
As I would say to my softball teams, I say to all of you and the University of Maryland community, let's not suck.
Let's not suck. All right, guys. Thank you to everybody in the chat room. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Trying to build up the followers there. Or if you're listening later and you happen to go to YouTube a little later, just find us on IMS Radio on YouTube and give us a subscribe there. That would be very much appreciated. Go Terps this weekend, and then we'll see you guys next week. This is IMS Radio.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.